You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Hi, this is Joe, Cup of Joe Morning Show. Thanks. Jordan Feliz got a concert April 20th at Goodwill Church in Montgomery, 2023, so I had a great opportunity to talk to him. Now, when you hear him, you're going to hear him clear his throat a lot and cough and things like that. You know, his whole family just about had gotten sick, so you have to commend the guy. We talked for about 30 minutes. God bless him. And then you enjoy, okay? Good morning. This is The Sound of Life.
Sorry, is this Joe?
Yeah, this is Joe. Is this Jordan?
Hey, Joe, how are you, man? Yeah, this is Jordan.
The one and only Jordan Feliz.
Yeah.
You're doing all right?
Here I am. Dude, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. My wife and our whole family's been tossing around this, like, kind of sinus infection.
Oh, dear.
Kind of thing. So, we're kind of just trying to bounce back from that. I actually feel, like, almost completely normal again, but it's just I don't sound completely normal yet. here I am. You know?
I've been there. I've been in your shoes. I tell you, it's not good when you use your voice, is it?
Dude, yeah, it's definitely not the best. But you know what's crazy is it just seems to be the case. Like when you have kids, you know, they go off, they go to school, they get sick, and then they come home, and it's awesome. So
it's one of those things they don't tell you a lot about. Until you just find out the hard way, you know, and so you're like, dude, well, you have two kids, don't you, I think?
I do, yes. I have a little girl who's 7.5 and a little boy is 4.5.
Wow-wee, isn't that something? Well, enjoy that.
Yeah, dude.
Because probably somebody's told you, and it happened to me, and somebody told me that. When I have three children, and our daughter was brand new. How many years ago was that? 30-some years ago. That's crazy. And she said it'll go by quick. I was in North Carolina. She said it'll go by quick, honey. They moved out, and then you know, and then here I am, boom, in a blink of an eye, it happened. And I'm like,
dude.
Wow. So, but I'm sure you got a hold of it,
dude.
Because you,
we're trying to make sure that we don't miss anything. You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely a part of parenting that you like, it's like you want to hear stuff like that, and then there's moments where you're like in your day-to-day and you're just like, I can't imagine this going by quick, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah,
it's definitely it's such a privilege, man. I just love being a dad, and it's so great.
Well, if you weren't so good at music, you wouldn't have such an action-packed filled life.
I know. And I don't know if I'm that good, but you know, I'm trying to be. You know,
I mean, you know, but I, you know, I do a little background research there, and first thing I thought of, and I have to tell you, we've been doing these little videos on Thursday afternoon, you know, to put on social media and stuff. We're trying to catch up with everybody else, and so I've been wearing like a hat to try to emulate you. You know, not a ball cap, some kind of odd hat. Thing, not that yours is, but you know, I'm trying to be obviously funny, but people must ask you about that a lot.
Oh, dude, they ask me about it all the time.
You're in
all the time,
and so now you have to do it whether you want to or not.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what's kind of funny is every once in a while I will try to, like, you know, do something different. Like I'll wear like a like a baseball hat or a trucker hat or, you know, a beanie or something on stage.
Wow.
And now it's gotten to the point where it's like crazy because if I don't have my wide brim hat on, people almost don't understand why I don't have it on.
Mm.
So it's like, it's kind of so funny because that's just kind of where I'm at, you know? It's
how did
like,
that, right. Well, how did that happen? Tell our audience how that happened.
So, you know, essentially, when I moved to Nashville, which was about 12 years ago,
okay,
I got here and my wife, she bought me a wide brim fedora and for my birthday. And I just loved it. And I also, I hadn't really worn a lot of hats, like, in my life up until that point. So,
that's interesting.
So I put it on, and I just loved, honestly, dude.
Hmm.
I've had long hair since I was in seventh grade, and I loved being able to put the hat on and not have to do my hair. Like, so I just started wearing the hat all the time because I never had to do my hair. Like, I was always just put a hat on and that's, you know, and I look like I'm ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
And so then whenever I started, you know, meeting with record labels, you know, it's like I always had my hat on, and everybody was like, this is like your look, this is like totally you,
sure,
and your look and stuff. And so now it's to the point where it's just gotten to the point where that's just who I am now. I just, like, everybody asks, they're like, so do you sleep with it on? You
know? Yeah, right.
Like, and I'm like, no, I take it off all the, and, you know, now my wife has undercut my hair, which is basically where you, like, shave half of it.
Oh,
and,
really?
It freaks people out because, like, I can tuck my hair up in, like, a beanie or a baseball hat now and look like I have short hair. So everybody always thinks now that it's, like, I either cut my hair off or that it's a wig that goes with my hat. So there's, like, there's all kinds of theories now that that are running amok within, you know, people that are just, like, walking around. They're like, dude, I thought you cut all your hair off, and is it a wig? And, you know, does your hat always come with the hair? Like, what, you know, it's just so funny.
It's amazing, isn't it, that that's what people are talking to you about.
I know.
Like, how's your wife and kids? Dude, yeah. What'd you do to your hair?
You know? Yes, exactly.
But I know that you were talking about at a time, in all seriousness, I mean, there was a time you were starting to get busy, because I knew you were in a group before, and that's how you got discovered, right? I think.
Well, that's not how I got discovered.
Okay.
But essentially, I can tell you how that all happened. But basically, I was in a metal band, actually, for 5 years.
Wow.
And I toured the country, and our band broke up. I took a job at a church as a worship leader, and thought, hey, this is just going to be what I do, and I loved it, and I loved being a part of the church and serving every Sunday and being a part of that. And I got a phone call from a buddy of mine who was kind of a mentor, and he was like, dude, hey, I know this sounds so wild, but, like, over the last 2 weeks, I just feel like God is calling me to manage you. And I don't know what that even means. I don't, like, would you want to come out to Nashville if I flew you out here and write some songs with some friends of mine? And would you want to just come hang, you know, and we could just kind of chat through it and you can write songs. And I'd never really written songs with anybody outside of either myself or my band. I was like, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And so I decided to come out to Nashville. I fell in love with Nashville. And long story short, essentially, we move out to Nashville. And the day that I got there, my wife and I had been praying about this move for a year. And the day that I got there, I was walking across Main Street in downtown Franklin, which is where we kind of were renting a townhouse at the time. And I'm walking across the street, and I hear a lady go, "You look like you're in a band." And I was like, "Oh yeah, no, I'm not. But actually, I just moved here today, you know, I'm you know, feel like the Lord called me here to do Christian music." And she was like, "Oh my gosh, are you serious? That's crazy. I used to be in a Christian band called FFH."
Oh wow.
And I was like, "Oh my gosh, my parents, like, have every single one of your records. Like, I grew up listening to, like, every one of your records." And she was like, "Well, send me a demo, and I'll toss them to some of my friends in town." And so that night I sent her an email with, like, two or three demos that I had recorded, you know, probably almost a year earlier, my first trip out to Nashville. And within, like, I think a month, I had every A&R of every record label in Nashville's email, and they were all emailing me about wanting to have meetings, and that's kind of how I ended up really kind of where I'm at. We're just following the Lord's call on moving to Nashville.
That is a pretty cool story. Man, you must think about that a lot. Wow. Wow, man. Well, I know that you had you had a period in your life where you had what, second, I don't know if I'm not going to say this right, probably, but I guess because of the busyness or something, you had kind of a crisis going on, personal crisis going on there or something. I thought I had read about, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I know that one thing that happened.
No. I was just wondering, because I've kind of talked about a couple of them. Because wow. I've had a couple moments in my career where I feel like I can talk about the biggest one that really happened was, you know, for me, right after COVID happened, there was this huge event at Red Rocks in Colorado.
Right.
And I had a really bad allergy attack. I had absolutely atrocious allergies. And I've had them my whole life, and it's why, you know, I end up losing my voice and I end up sounding like the way I do right now. But, you know, I had this massive allergy attack 2 days before we were going to go play Red Rocks. And so typically what I'll do is if I have shows, I'll go get like a steroid shot and like an IV from my doctor. And so my doctor's office was closed on the day there was a thing that had happened within one of the doctor's husbands had passed away in a car accident. It was like this big thing. So they were closed. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know where to go. So I found this like IV station place, and I went in there and got an IV, got a steroid shot. And basically the next day we flew to Red Rocks to play the Red Rocks show. And, for some reason, the steroid that they gave me, I mean, I didn't know what was going on, but I had a reaction to it when I went into high altitude. It basically sent my body into complete duress. I thought that I was having a heart attack or like a stroke or something, and I completely collapsed, and I couldn't walk, and I couldn't speak for about 3 hours. And I thought I was going to die. You know, it was one of the wildest feelings to not be able to control your body and to be able to like feel like you're communicating, but you're not, you know what I mean? You're not actually saying anything. And then to not be able to walk or like have any motor functions, it was so scary. And, it kind of sent me into this really crazy, just panic attack. And my panic, lasted for 2 weeks straight.
Wow.
And I couldn't get out of it. And, so I ended up having to go into psychotherapy and, had to do a bunch of like crazy stuff with a therapist. And, they finally pulled me out of my panic, and, 90% of obviously the panic was coming from the fact that I thought I was going to die. But then it kind of shoved me down this deeper route of why I couldn't stop panicking. And I think a lot of people, there's just not a lot of talk about anxiety and panic.
Right.
And like, I feel like, you know, you hear a lot about it right now. You know, you hear a lot about people talking about anxiety and having anxiety, but, what you don't realize is that, like, you know, when you have never had that happen, or when you've never had those issues in your life, you don't realize how debilitating that they are. And it kind of awoke this thing in me of just being able to talk about it and write songs about it and write songs to combat that for people. Because one of the first things that I would do whenever I was having any kind of a panic attack was I'd turn on worship music, or I'd turn on, you know, something musically that would point me to Jesus, you know. And so I find that a lot of people, that's what they do. They run to music. And so I just knew in that moment that I wanted to talk about it more, and also be able to know some of the science that goes behind what's going on, you know. And when you're having a panic attack, you know, you have your subcortex and your neurocortex of your brain, and the top portion of your brain does all of your logical thinking. And then your subcortex does all of your, it's all your fight or flight. It's the thought that it's like when you're in a state of, you know, and you're in like a really crazy situation. A lot of, you know, veterans and stuff like talk about this too. It's like when they go, when you're there in battle, like it's like their subcortex is operating at a optimal level. Mm. And it's because they're in fight or flight.
Mm.
But they have to actually get trained to keep your neurocortex on during those moments so that they can think rationally. And so when you're having a panic attack, your neurocortex completely shuts down. So there is no rational thinking. It's why it makes it so difficult to come back from panic and anxiety, is because that neurocortex isn't popping on anymore.
Wow.
And so I just really wanted to be able to talk about it and have people understand what that looks like, you know, from a physical standpoint. And yeah, and it sent me into this really crazy, you know, kind of this path. And honestly, it's been really beautiful. And I feel like the Lord has just done so much work in me and in my family, in my relationships with my friends and my community and our church, with my wife. I mean, just so many different things. And there's been so much beauty in it and seeing the Lord work through that. And so, man, like, it's funny because I feel like a lot of people are like, well, do you want to talk about it? It's like, oh, dude, I really want to. There are millions and millions of people that are dealing with this every single day, and they don't feel like they have anybody to talk to about it.
Wow.
And they don't feel like they have anybody that actually truly understands, you know?
Right.
And,
right.
And I do, man, I get it. And, you know, I'm about a year and a half, almost 2 years from that event. And I've had zero panic and zero anxiety since I, got back. And I've been in, you know, I graduated from going to psychotherapy, which psychotherapy sounds like such a crazy thing to go to, but it's actually super normal. It's like a normal person that's just diving deep with you on why, you know, you're wired the way you are and all these other things. And it's actually super, it's an incredible thing, dude. And I go to a guy who is a believer, who loves the Lord, and it's been a really amazing journey. And, you know, one of my hopes is that someday I'm able to speak on this, and it's able to help somebody else.
Man, you must have been like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. You would be like, can you just take this from me? Is there any other way that we can do this?
Literally.
You know, man, oh, man, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I would think a day would be like, you know, wow, that is something.
Yeah, a day felt like a week.
Ooh, man.
And it was definitely one of those moments where you're just like, wow, like I can't, you know. I dealt with like stress, you know, obviously we've all dealt with like high stress and maybe anxiousness about certain things where we're like, oh man, did I pay that bill, you know, or whatever, you know, it's like always there's always this little bit of anxious or stress or whatever, but I'd never dealt with anything that was like, my brain actually playing tricks on my body. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And it's actually not like your brain is trying to hurt you. It's actually trying to save you. But you know, that feeling of you don't have control over yourself. It's a wild thing, man. And again, people go through it every day. There are people that deal with this every single day.
Woo.
And it's just kind of miraculous that they show up for work, you know, they're willing to, you know, function, like that and not go get help. You know, I think everybody's so consumed by being, you know, oh, you know, and the thing is it's like, you know, a lot of people, even in the church, man, it's like, there's a lot of people that are just like, well, if you know, there's just so much religion in some of this, you know, into the context of all this of just like, you know, if you just pray, you know, or if you could just get your life right or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, like the Lord puts people here though. We're not supposed to do this life alone. You know, we're supposed to do this life together. And so I'm such an advocate for people going and getting help, like finding those people that will be community for them in this, and that will help them pull them out of this that cycle. It's been a huge passion for me, just because I've seen it, destroy my, it's destroyed several of my friends' lives,
Wow.
I've lost two of my very dear friends to anxiety disorders and panic.
Wow.
And, for me, it's just a really, it's a spot that I feel really passionately about.
Wow. So what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Nice. I love it. Honestly, my favorite flavor of ice cream is vanilla. And I know that's so lame, but it really is. It's my all-time favorite, dude.
See, we're connected because I told people, I said, if you ever see a message from me that says I've got to have a chocolate ice cream or milkshake, then you know I've been kidnapped and I'm in real trouble, because I always get vanilla. People look at me and said, "You want? What do you want?" You know, I'll get a vanilla milkshake. It's the best.
Honestly, yeah. You know, one of my favorite. My wife always thinks I'm so lame for doing this. I just love a plain hot fudge sundae. Like, you just put vanilla ice cream, hot fudge, whipped cream, a cherry, and some almonds, and like, that's what I get every time we go get ice cream.
That's
like,
pretty sweet. Both ways.
We don't really eat a lot of ice cream just because my wife and my son are dairy intolerant.
Oh, when no.
When we do, it's like, we're going to do it. We're going to go all the way, man.
Well, I can understand that because I'm a celiac patient, so I have to be wheat intolerant, so all the pizzas have got terrible all of a sudden. But, I mean, it's okay. It's all right. There's still a lot of sugar and vanilla going around, even if you're a celiac patient. So I'm still living a pretty good life. So how about musically from Jordan Feliz there now? You're gonna do favorites, right, and stuff. You got anything up your sleeve?
I do. I have something up my sleeve, and I'm pretty excited about it. So we just wrapped my brand new single last night, actually.
Wow!
So we got the final master last night, and we're going to be playing it on this tour, and I am so excited about it, man. It's called The King Is Alive, and I am just super amped on it, man. It's so fun, my little girl got to sing on the track with me, which is awesome. My producer's daughter, who is one of my little girl's best friends, they both got to sing it together, and man, it was just, it was so awesome. So incredible. And I'm so excited, and we're going to be playing on this tour. So come out and come ready to throw a worship party with us.
Okay. All right. You got it. I really appreciate, I hate talking to people. If I feel miserable like that, and to me, that's where I get attacked, I think, right in my head, my throat and my talking ability and all that, when your head gets all full of stuff and you can't think.
Oh, yeah.
So I really appreciate, really, really appreciate it, Jordan. I really do.
Oh, man.
And I mean, we'll be.
Of course, dude.
We'll be, praying for you, and we really will. Dude. I'm telling you.
Thank you so much.
That's pretty amazing. I know it's, for everybody like you, you're going out. You're going to be out for a few days, and you have to leave the family, and all that. Yeah. That can't be easy.
Yeah, it's definitely not, man. But, it's my wife and I have said this for the last couple of years. If it was a call that was just on me, then I wouldn't be doing it. It's a call on our whole family, and, my kids know that when I leave, it's not just to go play some songs, it's to go tell people about Jesus. And I think that's one of the things that keeps our family rolling, man, is just knowing that our life is all about pushing people into the arms of the Lord, man.
What's one of the funniest things? Your kids are probably pretty funny, right? I would think they
would. Dude, yeah.
I mean, if you're half of them, they have half your genetics, yeah. That's probably more than enough. So
and my wife is actually just hilarious. Like, she's the real comedian.
How so?
She is just so funny, dude. She's just, like, very, her dad was in radio for, like, 25 years.
No way.
She's very witty and quick. He was in sports, like, talk radio. He's just very quick-witted.
I'll bet.
And he is. Created a monster.
Really?
She's just so quick-witted, man. She's just hilarious, and I adore her because she's not only just, you know, she's funny, she's beautiful, she's, you know, she loves the Lord, and, you know, she's a great mom, an incredible wife, and, you know, it's just she's a rock star.
She must have her own podcast, right?
I wish she did. I've actually asked her to do it, but she thinks she'll get canceled if she does it. So,
What? That's the way to go now. Oh, man.
I know.
She would be rocking it. Are you kidding me?
No, I keep telling her. I'm like, you got to do this. My best friend, my best friend's wife is my wife's best friend.
Uh-huh.
So, it's kind of cool. So we do this trip every year together where he travels all the time. He's a pro athlete, so he travels all the time. And so he like literally, and I just, our schedules never align. So we're like, we're going to set aside 10 days a year to just travel together. So we do 10 days a year together. We always set aside those 10 days to go like be somewhere and just like disconnect for, you know, a week and a half. And, this last trip, my best friend's wife, her name is Allie, and my wife's name is Jamie. You know, they were just talking at the table one night, coloring and coloring books. And I just looked at Trevor and I was like, dude, I would pay serious money to just watch this on tour.
Yeah.
Like, I would literally pay money to watch this. Like, it is so funny. Like, and I just kept telling him, I'm like, you guys have got to start a podcast. And Jamie and Allie, they're like, oh, the people couldn't handle it. And I'm like, well, I think they could because I love it.
Oh, there's so many opportunities. Yeah. Man, oh, that would be neat.
So funny.
Well, I want to ask you this because I feel bad about talking to you because I was like, I could sit down.
Dude, you're all good. I do have another one that I think 3 minutes late.
Oh, okay.
Let's ask me one more.
Well, I know obviously, if we're listening to you, we know how to pray for you in one regard, but how would you, somebody said, how can we pray for you? What do you think?
Man, I think for right now, just be praying for endurance and, you know, some honestly, just some, and it sounds kind of weird, but I'm really praying for some vision for this next season. Just for the Lord to really lead the next steps. I'm really trying to build something right now in my career. And it's not easy. It's very, very, difficult, and it's exceptionally expensive. And so, obviously I'm in Christian music, you know, I'm not Justin Bieber. So there's like a lot that I'm trying to do to push our industry forward right now with my, with some things that we've got going on in my show and just in my career. And I just really want to be able to reach people, that might not even consider, having a relationship with Jesus, and it's just going to take a lot. I'm like really just, you know, praying that the Lord would provide and also just provide the vision for what that's going to look like. And I feel like I have a lot of the vision that He's given me, but, just continued, you know, doors opening and provision from the Lord for this next season. I'm really excited about it, but it's also a little nerve-wracking.
Gonna be exciting. All right. Sounds good. I thought you were going to say you were going to get a NASCAR car or something, but okay. That's good. I like what you're thinking.
That'd be kind of rad, though. Too. I mean, yeah. Maybe pray for a NASCAR, you know.
The hat. There we go. All right. And may God bless your next interview, boy. I tell you. Wow. Jordan, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you. I really do. I'm going to be there. So, you know, bro, I know what they must all jumble together between Wallington and Montgomery and Cherryville and Hagerstown, wherever you are.
Anyway. Yeah, well, hey, I'll be in Montgomery on April 20th.
All right.
I'll hopefully see you there, and appreciate your time so much, Joe, and have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk soon. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay. All right, Jordan. Thank you. God bless you.
Bye, buddy, man. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.